Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, festival goers. I hope you guys got home safe. Heard Coachella was a big success. Hope everyone had fun. Oh, but that's not the end of it. Festival season has just begun. I was having them itemized for me, and it's kind of amazing how many things can be squeezed into, like, 2 months. It's literally back-to-back, especially for those in the Coachella Valley out there in Palm Springs. You guys, woof, you got a lot of energy coming at you for the next couple weekends, so hang in there. Hope you're enjoying it. For those that stayed home and did not partake in the festivities like myself because of all the travel I'd been doing, we got to just kind of have the city quiet. I got to tell you, there's something really beautiful around festival season when LA is just silent and everyone's gone and the cafes and the coffee shops and the gyms are just dead. I don't know. I loved it. I was by a pool the entire weekend pretty much. Also went downtown for Smorgasbord. Have you guys heard of that before? It's this food festival. So if you are in LA or you are coming to LA, add to your itinerary. There's an area downtown that's now called The Row. I was not familiar with this. And essentially, they took the old American Apparel warehouse and factory, which is ginormous, and turned it into, excuse me, I'm drinking hot chocolate. And they turned it into a really amazing restaurant scene and kind of like an artisan-based scene as well, where there's people that are, you know, showcasing their own local fashions and artisan chocolates and bread. And it's kind of amazing. It's this little mecca. So definitely put that on your itinerary. And if you're in LA, go check that out. Every Sunday, they have this food festival. It was freaking phenomenal. And for my, you know, standard listeners, you know that I'm vegan. And they had amazing vegan options. Ice cream, food, donuts. It was awesome. So anyway, I can talk about food forever, but I'm not going to. Later in the show, we have a whole lot to talk about that's amazing. Bed sharing, co-bed sharing, to share or not to share, right? Pros and cons on either ends. We're going to break it down. It's actually kind of revolutionary because remember, everyone used to always just assume, hey, if you're together and you live together and you're a couple and you're married, you share a bed, but that's not the case anymore. People are really looking into the pros and cons. We're going to break that down. And then also later in the show, we're going to be breaking down some bad couples advice. That's right. Those myths abound. They throw you off. So I'm here to save your relationship. And of course, we'll be sliding into the DMs and doing our question of the night, which is up on our Loveline IG page. It's about bad breakups. We've all been there. But in the meantime, let's do some good news. Because again, I'm trying to focus on the good stuff, right? There's a lot of good stuff happening in the world at times. Ariana Grande. God bless her. You know, she's always up to something. But the Coachella founder is historically known for having donated a lot of money to anti-LGBTIA Christian groups. And Ariana flooded her performance. I wasn't there to see it, but I hear she flooded it with giant rainbow pride flag across the stage, waved small pride flags during her performance, and even had some fireworks. And the covert theory is that she was kind of giving a little bit of a middle finger to the organizer of Coachella with his anti-gay politics. Hey, everything's political. You know what I mean? Make your performance one too. Chick-fil-A swooping on in again. San Jose Airport, they were going to be breaking their contract with Chick-fil-A again for the similar reason as the Coachella situation, donating money to Trump and other anti-LGBTQIA organizations. I guess apparently they weren't able to back out of the contract. As contracts go, right? So essentially what they're trying to do to try to kind of, I guess, find some ethical landing ground in between is if they can't ban you from opening up your shop, what they can do is make it gay as hell. So that's what they're going to do. The City Council of San Jose has voted to decorate. I love this. This is actually kind of amazing. I will fly to this airport just to see this. They're going to decorate the Chick-fil-A location with gay pride and transgender pride flags. They're going to gay it up. And they're trying to put pressure on the organization, or I'm sorry, the restaurant, I should say, to hire LGBTQIA employees. Yeah, for some, they're saying, okay, cool. Others are saying, yeah, still not going to buy that chicken and those waffle fries because they're politics, but I get it. Pushing forward, Netflix. Oh, I love it. I love hearing about shows that are kind of pushing the boundaries. They have a new show called Special. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it tonight or tomorrow, and it brings disability to the forefront. Disability. 13% of Americans are living with a disability, but only 2.1% of characters on primetime television are disabled. Some more representation. Love that. All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to be breaking down the issues of identifying as a top or a bottom. That's right. Everyone's a little more fluid than they think they are. Listen to Loveline, and we'll see you back in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page, so follow us back and hit us up with your answers. It's about rough breakups. We've all had them. We got to share our stories. Got to bond over it. Also, we slide into the DMs later. We got two really, really, really important ones tonight, so we'll be breaking those on down. Later in the show, we'll be talking about bad couples advice, and also, should you share a bed? Should you share a bed with someone you're married to, dating? We're going to talk about the pros and the cons. It's an interesting topic. But right now, top and bottom. Ah, yes, it has ruined many a romantic tryst. Online dating, that anxious question comes up, are you a top or are you bottom for people that are in same-sex relationships? Y'all opposite-gendered people don't understand such struggles. But it's ruined some relationships. People rigidly ground in this idea that they're a top or a bottom only. So Willie Hudson, he's a playwright, autobiographical show called Bottom, where he basically talks about the fact that we need to have these labels disappear. We have a little audio. Let's take a listen.
Top is seen as masculine, and the bottom is seen as feminine, and a top is seen as very active, and the bottom as being quite submissive. And that's a stereotype, and that is reinforced in so many different ways. But really, it's just a sexual position, and you can be you. The lesson, or I think the take home for the show, is that however you perform your gender or your identity, you can be a top or a bottom, and a verse. It's Do you know what I mean? Like it's way more than that. Yeah, so I think we just need to think about sex in a way that you can educate people in a different way. Like sex education in schools could be way better if you teach people about sex beyond heterosexuality. Sex is about connection, it's about vulnerability, it's about intimacy. Like, you don't even need to have penetrative sex to have sex. Like, there's a whole world of experimentation and developing yourself and finding what you like.
Okay, so he makes a lot of really valid points. A couple things. One, we focus so much on penetration when we talk about sexuality, and that really, really, really limits what sex is. And I see that in my office all the time. When you sit outside of penetration being what your definition of sex is, whether you're a top or a bottom, it no longer matters. And then it can become a little bit about who's more assertive and who's more passive. And we're also in a time, it's 2019, 21st century. People can be quote unquote femme identified or femme presenting, less masculine, and still absolutely be an assertive person and be a top. So not only does that exist, but the whole idea is that too many same-sex relationships do not progress further because people rigidly ground themselves in this idea that I'm one or the other. Everyone has the capacity to be sexually fluid. And a lot of people are probably thinking, no, I'm one or the other. You're not. The problem is that we don't see our sexualities for what they are, which is a starting point. And healthy sexuality, honest sexuality, is really about not knowing who you are until you're with a partner. It essentially reinvigorates this idea of virginity, where good sexuality is you don't know who you're going to be with a partner that you've never been with, because sex should be co-created. It should be allowed to be very embodied and in the moment. But within a culture, we have things like homophobia, toxic masculinity, where people are afraid of what it means if they take a passive role. Femphobia. Is it feminizing if I take a passive role? People have genital and body shame. I work with some clients that because they don't have a large size penis, they think that they inherently can't top or pleasure someone. And it's so fascinating that people's authentic sexualities are never really explored because they're buried, right? We're not socialized to explore the totality of all that we are. We're socialized away. And then you throw in things like gender and it's even more limited. But basically, we have to expand outside the idea of penetration being all that sex is, right? We have to get away from those rules because our entire body has the capacity to bring us pleasure. Our entire body's an erogenous zone. But again, we get really, really trapped in these ideas. And people walk away from what could have been really beautiful, powerful relationships because they're so focused on this one penetrative element. And so I say to people, whatever makes you anxious, that's where your work is. And so whatever role you've dug your heels into and you're comfortable identifying as, realize that that's rooted in anxiety. You are fearful and anxious about stepping outside of that, but that's where the work is. And if you do move into these different roles that make you anxious, it's going to expand your options and your choices, and you're going to realize you are more fluid and more plastic as a sexual being than you thought you were. Again, what we often do is we say, I'm going to take off the table sexually anything that makes me anxious. You take off the table what makes you anxious. We're just going to do what's ever left. And that's really limited, right? It's fear-based decision making. So try alternative roles than what you're used to. Find the pleasure in it. And also remember, when you're in a loving relationship, it's all about doing things you don't want to do. It's not painful. It's not going to harm you. It's not going to traumatize. Work on that fluidity. Make that your goal of this year. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to get into the pros and cons of sharing a bed with someone you live with or you're dating or married to. And then we're going to be sliding on to the DMs. Listen to Loveline. See you back in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. It's about bad breakups. Follows back. We slide into DMs later. And also, just a heads up, I'll be in Dallas April 27th and 28th on my lecture and book tour. And then I'll be in Austin on May 18th and 19th. And soon we'll be releasing the dates for Albuquerque, Chicago, and I can't even remember where else. I just go where I'm told to go. You know what I mean? So go on my social media. The dates are posted. I'm just sitting here tindering on my little music breaks. Okay. Sleeping in the same bed as your partner. Ready for this one? Always trying to bring you the latest and greatest. You're also going to learn a few new words. I did as well. I love new terms. Neologisms. That's the word for new words. There's a word for new words. Okay. So basically, should you sleep in the same bed as your partner? We're breaking on down the research. Physical being, well-being, they're tied. I talk about that a lot, how mental health and physical health cannot be separated, right? If you have any definition of physical health that doesn't look at the mental health impacts of whatever we're talking about, your definition's incomplete. Sleep covers both. We all know not getting enough sleep is going to make you what? Tired, irritable, can lead to a lot of depression as well. And then physically, it's not going to help with pain, a lot of inflammation, stress, decreased immune functioning. Sleep is important. We already got that covered. We know that. So what happens when you sleep apart? The pros of what they're calling a sleep divorce. I don't like that. It's a little bit too heavy of a word to say, yes, me and my husband and wife here are going through a sleep divorce. No, that's horrible. That's a little too intense. But basically, some people are realizing it's not working out sharing the same bed. So the pros of sleeping apart. Well, people go to bed sometimes at different times. I've been in those relationships where I go to bed, early and they go to bed later. They come in, it wakes you up, right? I'm a very light sleeper. Some of us are. So go to bed at different times. People climbing in and out, also snoring. That's a pro of sleeping apart. If you're with someone who's a snorer, I am a light sleeper. I cannot share a bed with someone who snores. I will be up all night and I will not give my sleep up. Here's also a term I had not heard of. I'm familiar with the behavior, cover pulling. I never just heard it said like that. Some people are cover pullers, meaning they like the temperature different, right? I always have a few body parts hanging out of the blanket because I like it cold. So that's another thing that can get in the way. Also, use of cell phones. Now, what are the cons of sleeping apart? Well, for some couples, that's the only time that they actually get together and bond. They work long days, they come home, and laying in bed together is when they talk, it's when they bond, they have different schedules. Also, sex. For some couples, that's when sex can begin. You're close, your bodies are touching, the bonding or whatnot can lead to that. So, you know, the cons of sleeping apart are less intimacy sexually in terms of affection. Also, cuddling. I love cuddling. Cuddling's an important part of nighttime co-sleeping, so you'd be missing out on that. Although, in theory, you could share a bed sometimes, and then when you fall asleep, one person go in their other bed. But basically, the bigger message in all this is that it's okay to have what we call designer relationships. Setting your relationship in a way that makes sense for you based on what your actual needs are as an individual and a couple, where it's not always going to look like it looks on television, where you're going to share the same home and share the same bed in the same bedroom. It's okay. You can have a great relationship, a great marriage, tons of love, and have different bedrooms or different beds because of all these different sleep needs, right? So think about your mental and physical health. Not everyone's built to sleep together. And some people just persevere. You know, they hang in there and they wake up not having gotten enough sleep. They're miserable. It's affecting their health, mental health, physical health. So I don't know. But also sticking with that topic, this is really interesting to me. This came out last week, but I wanted to kind of bring this forward. So there's a story. Actually, Mila Jovovich, who is in a wealth of films, she was on, I think it was Wendy Williams, and they were dogging her because she talks about the fact that her and her children share the same bed. Her 11-year-old and 4-year-old share the bed with her and her husband. And she's like, we've been doing it for years. And they were saying that's nuts. But guess what? 95% of the world as a family all share their beds. The American way isn't the way for everyone. All right. We're going to take a little break listening to Loveline on the new channel, QNRadio.com. And when we come back, we're going to be sliding into them DMs. See you in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
I'm here all night. Dr. Zinn, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Give me a call. Hang out with me. Questions, thoughts about all of tonight's topics. But it is time to slide on into them DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Slide into my DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big, sexy world. Explore with confidence. All right, we got a good one tonight. Dear Dr. Chris, I really want your opinion on the Gillette ad that uses an obese model. That's their word, not mine. I love your stance on body positivity and love. The ad sparked a lot of controversy, and I want to know if my feelings on the matter are wrong. I'm a total body positivity supporter. I do not agree with starving yourself or trying to achieve unattainable beauty standards in order to be viewed as attractive or worthy. I love women who echo these sentiments, such as Amy Schumer and Ashley Graham, who fully flaunt their curves and stretch marks and have no shame in their eating game. I think it's awesome. However, here we go. When I saw this particular Gillette ad, I found myself very put off. I feel it's one thing to embrace curves and be confident and say F you to body shamers, but depicting an extremely obese woman in an ad and saying it's okay is just as detrimental as glorifying anorexia or drug use, in my opinion. Shouldn't there be a happy medium? I in no way, shape, or form think an obese person can't be confident and happy. However, diabetes and heart disease is no joke. And while I wouldn't want my daughter shaming anyone, I also would never want her to aspire or look up to either of these extremes because it's not healthy no matter how positive you want to be. Your thoughts? Why, yes. Yes, I have many thoughts. First off, I don't engage in body shaming or anything having to do with diet or fitness culture. Because to me, it's completely unethical and it's psychologically abusive because it's essentially enforcing the idea that one has to look a certain way to be healthy. And that's not true. Shaming someone never, ever, ever leads to health, period. Also, you know, the goal of my work in mental health is authenticity, liberation, and ending shame and oppression. So having a fat body is what some people's natural set point body weight's meant to be. We don't have control over that. That's a genetic thing. And we can fight it with manipulating our bodies via workouts and diets. But again, remember, 95% of diets fail and people put on the weight and more. They don't work. And people don't deserve to be bullied because genetically they have a higher body point set weight that they should not have to spend their entire lives battling. So absolutely, I advocate for eating nutritious foods, moving often, and then you have to just love whatever comes as a result of that, right? Dieting has a high failure rate. It also leads dieting to long-term heart and health damage. So if we're really worried about things like heart disease and all of that, dieting leads to that. So no one should be tasked with spending their entire lives battling their genetics, their metabolism, or their hormones. And it's not psychologically healthy because there is no physical health without psychological health. So we need to not worry about other people's health. We call that health policing. And that's never what it's about anyway. It's really about us having discomfort or dislike of fatness. And so I always tell people, worry about yourself. Do not worry about what other people are doing. People are allowed to choose to be unhealthy if they want. And we struggle to understand that. If someone wants to be unhealthy, they are allowed to choose that. Health does not have to be the goal of everyone's life. And how people care about their own bodies is private. That's my thoughts. I care about the mental health. But that's a good question. There you go. All righty, righty, righty. We got our love line. Oh, remember that DMs is always presented by Trojan Condoms. It's a big, sexy world, and we want to explore with confidence, right? All right, Trojan, thank you, guys. Now, pushing forward, our question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page, and that is dating dumping disasters. Is that what you would call it? Dating dumping disasters, breakup struggles, breakup issues? I like the whole double D there, dating dumping disasters. So follow us back, weigh in on that. We break that down. We come back, and also couples advice that are problematic myths. I'm going to be breaking them all down. Listen to Loveline. See you back in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. It's about bad breakup stories. I know. The pain is real, but we're going to make a little, we're going to have a little fun with it. So weigh in on that, follow us back. And then we'll be breaking down some bad couples advice. Oh yeah, tons of it out there. It's why I have a job. If you haven't picked up my new book, Rebel Love, do so. I break them down in that book as well. But now it's time for sex tech. Oh yeah. Technology robot sounds. Oh, we're going to work on that. We're going to make that a little better. But anytime there's a technological advancement, yes, that's right. Somehow sex finds its way in there. It's good stuff, though. So what do we got tonight? We got two things. These are both kind of wacky. One of them is making its way around the internet because it's kind of quite a sight to see. It's basically called the automatic sperm extractor. Oh, yes. Google it. You need to see this. Basically, it helps men donate sperm. This is coming to us from China. Ah, yes. And it's a solution for men who struggle to masturbate or find the idea of going into, you know, a medical office in order to donate sperm unarousing or problematic. Basically, the automatic sperm extractor features a lubricated pipe, which resembles a female organ, and it massages and stimulates, just like sex does. Oh, yes. Now, I can't imagine standing at this machine. I'll just put it like that. Standing at this machine for use. It's a little awkward. It looks like a strange phone booth. But the country's government, they said that there's a severe shortage of sperm donations. And sure enough, company swoops in, says, let's make some money off that. And now they did. Google it. You got to see it. But as I was saying on the tease, I love apps. And there's an app, and I think people are kind of familiar with this. It's for those that are in long-distance relationships. It's a remote control. You can do a lot with this. But I think what's most fascinating is they have this app for a product called Vibes, and it vibrates in sync with your favorite erotic audiobook. I have no more details. I don't really know how that links up or what that means. I don't know at like what parts of the book it's going to kick in. I mean, we can assume, right? But if you're going into the book wanting a lot of vibration, I'm hoping the book is well aligned with it. But I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. But there's a whole remote control thing where you can put it in your pants and your partner can be, gosh, anywhere around the world and kind of remote control it. I'm into it. I'm not into it. I'm on the fence about that one. But I'd love to hear from anyone who's actually used one of them. 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Let me know your thoughts on that. Because sometimes these things are really kind of cool and sometimes they're not. I mean, a lot of us have tried those like hand massagers. And to me, they don't ever feel like a good massage. Like, you know, the massage chairs. I've had a good massage chair massage, but the wands never feel that good to me. So I'm not sure if robotic stimulation is as good as human stimulation. Not for me anyway. But anyway, give us a call, weigh in on it. Question night's up, Love Line. Question night on our Love Line IG page. It's about them bad breakup stories. But again, give me a call, 833-LOVE-001. I want to hear your stories about sex tech. I don't have any. I'm going to let you guys down with that one. I don't have any of my own, and I want to share them. I want to share them with you. Story going around that's actually kind of wonky, and it lets me down. A mom was ticketed while breastfeeding in the back seat of her parked SUV. I mean, you know, the baby had been crying. She pulls over. She's discreetly breastfeeding. Tow truck cop rolls up, wants to move the car because of where it was parked, sees the woman inside breastfeeding. She literally looks up and says, I'm breastfeeding. And he gives her a traffic ticket. What is going on? Is the city in that desperate need of income? Sorry, we got producer MEQ losing her mind over there. Eat your spaghetti. This is what I have to deal with, folks. I have people in the studio eating delicious dinner, and I'm sitting here yapping. I'm hungry, too. During break, I'm going to be eating my pomegranate seeds. As you're all at home enjoying your dinners, which, by the way, if it's a smart speaker, you can take me with you from your car into your dinner table, and I could be sitting there with you as you're eating. You just got to say, hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on radio.com, and there I am. With you all day, all night. Nothing better than that. You can shower with me. Everyone shower with me? That's all you can do with your smart speaker. Yeah, that's right. You can bring me in there. You can hear me. I need to get one of those because our phones don't play music loud enough, FYI. Right? Those speakers are quiet. They're quiet ones. But give me a call and hang out with me, you guys. I sometimes feel like I'm like desperately lonely. Like I'm that person who went out to eat and no one showed up. And so I'm looking at the tables around me and I'm like, someone please come sit with me. But yeah. So anyway, that's that one. Yes. So hold on a second. Are you guys familiar with New York City Pride? It is one of the world's most phenomenal prides and you can win a trip. Pride in New York is the 27th to the 30th of June, and you win a trip to Pride Weekend. Shopper Hopper and Channel Q will send you and a friend, both of you, to the biggest Pride event in the world, New York City Pride. Here's the kicker. You get airfare and, ready for this, a four-night hotel stay. Four nights, if nothing else. Not just the amazing Pride, but go for the four nights. Dinner, the shows, the museums, the parks, the shopping, the people watching. So head over to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win. And of course, keep listening to the new Channel Q for all the details. That's amazing. Four nights. Are you kidding me? How do I get in on that one? All right. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be doing bad couples advice. Oh yeah. Cause there's tons of it and we're buying into it and I'm going to break it down. See you guys back in a minute.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page, so hit it up. We'll be breaking that on down and then sliding into DMs. But before we go there, we got to talk about some couples advice. There are so many myths floating out there. I don't know who starts these things, but we got to stop reinforcing them. So what are some of the pieces of advice that no couple should ever follow? Couple or throuple? First one is this whole thing about having sex every day. The studies show that people who had sex more frequently were happier, but that there's a limit, that having sex more than once a week didn't provide any additional happiness boost. I'm on the fence with that one because, again, I think that a lot of times we don't realize that sex is a beautiful resource and a form of intimacy. Keeping it readily accessible can really important. There's no right amount of sex to have. Every couple is going to be different, and that's going to ebb and flow based on a multitude of things. But daily romance and eroticism in some form, I think, is uber important. Again, whether that's cuddling, kissing, handholding, leaving a note, sexting, texting, whatever it is, I think some form of romance is really important. But sex every day, no, not needed. Bam. This whole idea that men and women are opposite sexes, I mean, there's so many more sex. There's over 5 sexes and there's hundreds of genders. But they're not different. There's a lot of things that are very similar. Personality and behavioral differences often actually overlap. And so there's not this whole vast men are for Mars, women are for Venus. Just that we're socialized to believe it that way. We're socialized to not understand each other. And that leads to a lot of problems. But this next one's actually really fascinating to me too. Myth that you should be 100% focused on your partner. Yeah. It's a big problem because when we move into relationships, we've got to keep all of our identities, right? Spend time on your own, spend time with your friends, spend time with your family, spend time as a couple without the kids. So it's really about tapping into all the different identities you have, holding on to all of them. We were kind of talking about that on Let's Go There, about not losing yourself in a relationship, right? So I believe a healthy relationship is when you go from an I to an us and a we, and you do think in terms of what do we want, what do we need to do, but you still do maintain the other parts of your identity, right? So it's an expansive thing. Life shouldn't shrink. It should expand, right? New things are brought in. This is adorable. The whole idea that all date nights are not created equal. No, I agree with that. A lot of people, their time together spent on the couch watching their favorite shows or movies. That's cool. There's some physical intimacy building in that. But it's really the sharing and the eye contact that's really important. And so it's all about going out and trying new and exciting things. That tends to bring couples closer. Going out into the world. And so don't make every night a blockbuster night. Get yourselves out there. See new things. Do new things. It's exciting. It also creates an association that time together is fun versus getting too comfortable. Here's another one that we got to get rid of. That fighting is bad. It's not about whether or not you fight. It's how you fight. And when times of conflict happen, that's when you really learn about each other and the relationship, how strong it is. And that's when trust is also built, right? When you fight, does this person stick around? Are they kind? Or is this someone who leaves, someone who bounces, someone who gets really harsh and aggressive? So it's really in fighting that we learn about things. Hey, enjoy the good times. But things are easy when they're easy. It's when they get rough that we really learn about what we co-create with this other person and the strength of our relationship. Conflict resolution is really important. So when I work with a couple, I was asking about what happens when they fight. Or you really wait for the first fight or the first big element of conflict to really know that the real true relationship has begun. Otherwise, you're still in that fantasy part, which is great, right? Like, enjoy that. You want that for a long period of time. But it's when the fighting happens that the truth really kind of comes out. So to recap, don't have to worry about having sex every day. Could you imagine? Who has time for that? That's kind of exhausting. But some form of affection, romance is important. Get away from this whole idea that they're, you know, genders don't understand each other and are so different, because there's a lot of commonality. And also keep all your identities. and work on those date nights. I mean, that's the whole thing. People think that the whole goal of relationship or dating is just to get someone. And once we have that box checked and we got them, you know, they're exclusive, we're committed, we're monogamous, we're married, we're living together, whatever it is, they stop flirting and attracting and romancing. And that's when things get really boring. So you got to stay in that cycle. Keep attracting each other. Keep flirting, keep courting, because again, this is your romance partner. It's not your best friend. So you got to keep those things going. It's uber, uber important. Give me a call. 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Give me your thoughts and questions. What have you guys done that's worked? What have you guys done that's not worked? And then our question of the night up on our Loveline page, weighing on it. When we come back, we're going to be breaking on down. It's about bad breakup stories. I know you got them, so give them to me. And then we'll be sliding into our final DM. Listening to Loveline, Dr. Chris, take a little break, and we'll see you right now.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night time. Question of the night is, what's the worst way you've been dumped or dumped someone? Let's break them on down. I knew this one was coming. Ghosted. I think ghosting is now the number one way to dump or be dumped. For those that aren't familiar with that term, I'm sure it might have happened to you if you don't know the word. But to be ghosted is when they just disappear. Stop responding, stop engaging. And the real kicker is when it's with someone that you've been texting with maybe all day or all day for a few days, even gone on a few dates, even had an awesome date, and then they just ghost. They just disappear. It also can happen at parties when you just kind of bounce. You know what I mean? You don't take the time to wander or say goodbye to people or the host. You just ghost. You peace out. Yeah, it's a horrible feeling. I always tell people, look, if you're going to go on dates with someone, take responsibility for the relationship you're forming, even if it's not a committed, serious one, and end it. It's very kind. People will thank you. They'll be blown away that you cared enough. Send that old, hey, it's really great getting to know you, but you know, the chemistry's not there. And they'll be like, all right, thanks. And you know what? If someone does send you a breakup text, say thank you, because so many people do just disappear and then they're showing their phone to people and they're trying to figure out what happened. And it's just very kind to just get that, it's not going to work out text. I always try to do that. There's nothing worse than trying to understand what happened. Okay. Worst way you've dumped or been dumped. I got dumped last week because this guy I was dating didn't like the fact that I had a home with an ex. People get really threatened by that ex stuff. Again, friends with an ex, it's a healthy sign. It's a sign you don't burn down relationships. It's a sign that just because the commitment, romance, or sex isn't there anymore, that you just maintain a relationship in a different form. It's a good sign. This guy couldn't handle that. Glad he bounced, because it would have been some other problematic things probably. But yeah, support people that are friends with their exes. It's a beautiful thing. You got to be able to trust people. There's nothing to worry about. Broke up for a reason. All right, worst way you got broken up with or broke up with someone, found out they had a new girlfriend already through social media. That's heartbreaking. Going on their IG and that's how you find out. That is not the way for a relationship to end. Someone else said ghosted, and then they came back a month later telling you they got back with their ex. Yeah, that is so hard. So they disappeared, and then a month later they tell you that they're back with their ex. Yeah, that back with the ex thing, that happens sometimes. Unfinished business, you know? That's why I say a breakup's never necessarily 100%. People circle back sometimes. They just needed to realize that they wanted what they lost. Worst way someone has broken up with you and vice versa. A girlfriend invited me over after a passionate holiday. All right. Went all the way there, and she spent the afternoon with her new boyfriend I never knew of. Yes, that's real. God, so you guys are horrible sometimes. Come on, we gotta be a little more loving and compassionate. Someone else said got dumped an hour after we had to put my dog down. Wow. Couldn't even wait till the next day. You know what I mean? Jeez, an hour after you put your dog down, you got dumped. Sorry to hear that. Your dog and the dumpage. Someone else said, my boyfriend at the time got a job in another state, so I moved with him and we got a place together. On the fridge, we had those letter magnet. Oh no, I already see where this is going. On the fridge, we had those letter magnet things that spelled out with a heart next to my name. I don't know what that means. One day I got home and saw that he had changed the name to some other girl's name and found out he had cheated on me and she was the one who changed the letters. Oh, I did not see that coming. That is horrible. Who does that? Darn. That is painful. So you found out not via post-it, but via the magnet letters on a fridge. That's rough. That's one for the books. Worst way someone's broken up with you and vice versa. My first wife woke up on the 58th day of marriage, looked me in the eye and said, "This isn't really working for me. I'm going to go." Oh, bless. So solid, so specific. Someone else said, "I went over to my boyfriend's house Saturday morning and stayed the weekend. Everything was normal. Had sex, talked all the stuff you do. Monday after work, I got the mail and I see a letter from him postmarked on Friday telling me that it's just not working out." What? Okay, that is another one I've not heard. The fridge magnets with the new girl's name instead of yours. And then a letter postmarked on Friday after a great weekend that you got on Monday. Darn.
Is a letter better or worse than over text?
I don't know. Here's the worst part, is that he had sent it on Friday, had an awesome weekend together, and she got it on Monday. That is horrible. Oh my God, you guys. An ex broke up with me while we were having sex. Like, literally mid-thrust, he told me he was going back to his ex-fiance, but he still wanted to be friends and wanted one last round. That is not okay. That is horrible. Oh my gosh, you guys. Another way someone broke up, gave me a huge hickey and dumped me the next day over Facebook Messenger. Wow, you guys are too much. Technology misuse and the hickey. Someone else said, woke up on my birthday to a text that said, "We need to talk." Got dumped for my friend. Met another girl the same day, brought her to my birthday party. She left with another guy.
Oh,
that's hurtful. I'm sorry. That's quite a day. That is quite a day. Someone else said, a girl broke up with me to be a nun. Then she started doing coke and hooking up with my best friend. Okay. I think that needs to be the episode of a show somewhere or a movie or something. Like, what? Oh my gosh, you need to check the receipts on that one about the nun. So now some ex-girlfriend and I broke up on Skype. Well, I guess maybe you're long distance. That's how that has to happen sometimes. Someone else said, I was really young and stupid and had the perfect girl who had it all. I stupidly got insecure and got caught cheating on her and managed to break up with her when she called me out on it. Yeah, looking back at some of the things we messed up, I've been there. Somebody else said, just pretty much stopped talking to me with no explanation or anything. We were 18 and 19 at the time and were like three doors down in our university halls of residence and had already organized to live with each other and some friends for the next year, so it made things awkward. That's the ghosting, even after all that. Someone else said, I didn't really get dumped, but I asked a girl to prom and her response was, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not even going to go. I feel so bad. She did go, but alone. Yeah, maybe dodged a bullet there, you know? You never know how it's going to go. I've already told you guys my story. I'll tell you again, though. I was seeing someone, thought it was, you know, the right time, posted a picture of us together on Facebook, tagged them in it. Seconds later, I got a notification that they untagged themselves, and then I got a text saying, this isn't working. Oh, heartbreak. So real. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel, QNRadio.com. Take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to be busting into the DMs.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Love line.
This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and it's that time. It's time to slide on into the DMs. Slide into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world, so explore it with confidence. All right, here we go. Hello, Loveline and Dr. D. My partner and I have been together now, on and off, for 2 years, and our sex life is not what it used to be. In the beginning, we were both very sexual towards each other. We were both versatile, and we're very into trying new things in the bedroom, just us. I will say this. In the beginning, I did tell him I have a very high sex drive and am very open sexually and didn't want an open relationship, and he didn't either. It's now a year later, and we maybe have sex once a month, and when we do, I can't even get off unless I'm the top. How he initiates sex is strange, because he will get naked and stick his butt up in the air. And I'm like, okay, no foreplay. I like when it's like a narrative with the questions. I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay, no foreplay. You expect, I'm sorry, watching producer Justin, who's ready to like censor me. He's giving me the eyeball. Okay. Sorry, back to the story. The way he initiates sex is strange. He'll get naked, stick his butt up in the air, and I'm like, okay, no foreplay. You're expecting me to be ready to go? Or when he's atop, he'll pinch, this is a new one, he'll pinch my arm, and that's the cue to have sex, and I'm just not into it. Makes sense. Today, I finally was like, listen, we need to figure this out because I can't keep going on like this. And his response was, he also could feel a disconnect, and he didn't know what to say or how to fix it. Mind you, all of it is over text. Never in person are we able to talk about anything. He said it's just not how he communicates, which to me, he doesn't at all. I'm not in a relationship with a phone. I know the love is there because we both love each other. My question is, what can I do? Okay, this is really important. So there's a lot in here to kind of break down. How sex is in the beginning of a relationship is not a sign of what it will be down the road. So the baseline, like if I'm trying to assess a couple's baseline of sexuality, I don't ask them how it was in the very, very beginning, because newness and novelty is very exciting, and people will often be more open or more interested. They'll have the time, they'll have the energy. And so sexuality is easy to be prioritized in the beginning. So I kind of wait to watch. So basically you've gotten through that, and then you've gotten to sex about once a month, which, you know, again, if you're not complaining, you're not complaining, but you kind of are saying that you are complaining. And then you're saying that he has an odd way of initiating. Look, foreplay is really, really important, especially to you, you're saying. And so I'm glad you're talking about that, letting someone know that arousal isn't immediate for you and that it's something that's built, and that you actually maybe enjoy the behaviors sexually that are labeled under foreplay. So that could be part of the conversation too, that sometimes that is sex, because it is honestly sex, but for some people they think it's just kind of like a path towards something, but you're letting them know that like this in fact is sexuality for me. I'm also wanting to zero in on the whole fact that everything's always taking place over text. So when someone says that's just how I communicate, what they're really saying is true intimacy and vulnerability make me anxious. And that's what happens when we have a real-time conversation face-to-face with someone. And so I'm glad you're pushing for that. You don't want to shame them for wanting to communicate about, you know, really intimate topics over texting. But I do appreciate that you're drawing the line and saying that you don't want to operate that way. And so you have my support in saying that all serious conversations, you want to have them face to face to see each other, to hear each other, and also to work on doing some reconnecting if the conversation leads to you feeling disconnecting and you already feel disconnected. So push for foreplay, push for more conversation in real time. And talk about what are the things that would be foreplay for you and kind of turn you on. Because, yeah, getting your arm pinched or just having someone waiting in the bedroom in a certain position, I can understand why that's a turnoff, not a turn on, why that might stress you out. So, you know, again, it's really just about you expressing your needs and hoping that your partner cares enough about you in the relationship to honor that. But we don't always get what we want. And then you have to have a different kind of conversation. So work on that. Just work on really being forthcoming with what you're looking for. Try that out. And again, you know, if anyone who's relating to the partner on the other end, when a partner comes to you and talks about what it's like to be in a relationship with you, what they're struggling with, the first answer should be thank you. Thank you for caring enough about me and our relationship that you're being honest and open with me so we can fix things, right? Versus you choosing other solutions like leaving me, ghosting me, cheating on me, because that's sometimes what happens. And so lead with the whole thank you that this person cares and they're approaching you. Okay. We got another DM. Dear Dr. Chris, I have reoccurring fantasies about having sex with men. However, in my fantasies, I am a man as well. And then they say in parentheses or in quotes, I'm sorry, in parentheses, I'm biologically a woman. And I masturbate, when I masturbate, I find myself making the motion with my other hand as though I have a penis. These are my most fulfilling fantasies, and I've noticed my strong attraction to gay, bisexual, and sexually fluid men. This may mean nothing, but I'm not sure how to break this down and feel seriously confused. I find myself bummed out that I am in this female body, but there are other times I embrace the body. Yeah, you know, again, fantasy is the beautiful place for us to explore things that we might not want in real time, might not be able to pull off in real time, things that are safer for us to get confidence around. But something in fantasy doesn't mean we want it in reality. And that's the part that people get hung up on. Just because we fantasize about something doesn't mean we really are going to do it or want to do it, right? We have impulse control, we have boundaries, we have empathy, we have real world issues and obstacles. So just because you fantasize about something doesn't necessarily mean anything more than, yes, it's something that is arousing to you, and your fantasy life is where you can really play it out with no consequences. So there's nothing wrong with that. Roll with it. Go with it. Enjoy it. Have fun. You said it's the most arousing thing. Go with it. Enjoy. That's what it's about. All right. Presented by Trojan Condoms. It's a big, sexy world. Explore with confidence. That's our DMs for the night. Thanks for hanging out with me. I will be back tomorrow night. You guys have an awesome, awesome, awesome night. See you tomorrow.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.